Patrick's day has been made. At the end of the podcast, we are going to include the Chris Stapleton interview from this week. We had him on the show celebrating the release of his new album, Starting Over. So again, we're going to include that at the end of the regular podcast, right after the closing jingle. Don't press stop. Let it keep going, because then you get another 15 minutes or so of Chris Stapleton.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind. So they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Big D and Bubba Podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba's podcast.
Once again, thank you to our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts for sponsoring the podcast. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Believe that. Believe that. Oh, I have a gold for you, Big D, just because of all the crazy times that America's going through.
Pray for peace.
Pray for peace.
Pray for peace.
Reba, if you don't know that song, it's a Reba song that she did that literally it has, it's what, 4 minutes long or so.
I think, and those are all the words.
Those are the words. Like, she says it over and over and over. She just chants, pray for peace, over and over.
Yeah.
And but you got to love it because it's got fiddles, and I swear it's got bagpipes.
Pray for peace.
It does.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Probably not her best song.
Pray for peace.
Radio never played it. I wonder why.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow,
this,
dang, D.
Man.
Oh, wait,
dang. Rough. It's pretty rough.
So,
dang, Daniel.
I love her, man. I'm just saying.
Not, I love Reba, too. That's not my favorite.
Not a great song.
Pray for peace.
She kind of, like, said, like...
Just, like, a little more. You know, I think what happened is the Thomas Rhett song, Be a Light, is what she was going for.
Yeah.
And that was probably why she said, yeah, I want to be a part of that song.
Yeah.
Because
like, I tried this. It didn't work. Let's try it better.
Yes, keep
with
swinging.
With more than three words.
Yeah, we swing for the fences, guys. You know, keep going. It's like a shotgun. You know, you don't hunt ducks with a rifle. You just don't. You got to have something that's going to have a better chance of hitting. So you throw a bunch of stuff at the wall and you see what sticks. And that's what she did. So Pray for Peace was kind of like, but, you know, I like the actual, it gets stuck in your head. As a Reba aficionado, it gets stuck in your head, and I just want to say that if you don't know that song, you need to know it.
I always thought it was aficionado.
Aficionado. What'd I say? You said, aficionado?
You said aficionado.
Well, I just, you know, I slur.
Aficionado is like a Sharknado, but with fish instead of shark.
Yeah.
Aficionado.
Yeah. So I'm looking at the podcast stream, and I'm wearing my turkey drop shirt that Carson made for me. Sadly, Carson is not here. She is finishing up her. She does another show after hours, and it goes all over the place, and she's awesome. Well, she's finishing up that so she can leave and go on vacation for a couple days for Thanksgiving to go visit family and all that kind of stuff. So I did wear this just to show off the awesomeness, because on the radio, yeah, we had talked about it, and I said I wanted to wear it, but I looked like a stuffed sausage in it. I was half telling the truth. I stretched this shirt out so much this morning before putting it on, and then after I got it on, I realized it was too short. Like, if I were to step back here, the shirt stops at about my belly button. So if I don't wear another shirt under it, then it looks like my belly is showing the whole time. And that's not good. If I raised my arms up, it would probably show all the way up to my boobs. That would be bad.
Nobody wants that.
But I love this shirt. It's a WKRP throwback, Les Nessman. So thank you, Carson. One of the sweetest, best gifts I've ever gotten from any radio person. Just saying. Oh, Patrick, you have a gift on the way for you.
Yeah, you do.
It's pretty cool. And yeah, we,
Bubba and I get your gift.
We think you're going to love it.
Did y'all get me something, or is somebody sending me something you just know
no,
about
we,
it?
We got
no,
you
we
something.
Got it.
We spent money for it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you are going to be like, what? You guys know me so well.
Yep. It's true.
Okay.
It's actually one of those well thought out things. Yeah. Bubba noticed, and I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, totally how it's going to be. So,
I like that. That's intriguing.
I do want to talk about this Sia thing. Right before the podcast started, I was on Twitter and I saw the thing. Sia faces backlash after casting Maddie Ziegler as an autistic teen in an upcoming movie. So basically, people are all crazy and fired up because Sia, the singer, casted a non-disabled actor to play a disabled actor.
Oh, you mean she hired an actor to act?
Yes. Yes. It's like Lieutenant Dan had legs, people. Just letting you know. I mean,
you couldn't do that now.
Forrest Gump.
They would seriously.
Tom Hanks.
There would be backlash.
Forrest Gump.
First of all, one of his best roles. Tom Hanks can't play Forrest Gump. And
because he's
Lieutenant
a non-
Dan can't play Lieutenant Dan.
I mean,
you smell something burning?
No, they're testing
the heater.
Yeah.
So, oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, and I felt bad because I had the bathroom door open and I went to the bathroom. And I was like, it's right there by where they're doing the testing. So I left the door open. I'm like, let you guys have it because we're having to smell all the burnt stuff so you can have a little extra thing. They'll be like, what's going on here?
I sprayed something, man.
I usually spray in there and none of y'all use it.
I use it all the time. I do.
Except for
this time because I thought it would be funny because they're in there.
Okay.
Because I'm a terrible person. And okay. Anyway, so yeah, just people need to quit. I mean, bottom line is, you know,
everybody needs to chill out.
Tom Cruise was not a fighter pilot. He's not a fighter. He is a pilot. He was not a Navy fighter pilot.
They could have hired a fighter pilot to play the role.
Yeah, it's crazy.
There are fighter pilots out there who don't have roles. I want some roles. I like them when they have butter with a little bit of honey. Oh. Those are my favorite roles.
You got some on your side.
Dang, man.
I do too.
I know. That was still like
I call them muffin top.
I call them my dinner rolls because that's how I got them.
That's how I got them.
Anyway, this has been fun.
People are saying the sound's coming through the phone again on Facebook.
What?
I'm going to turn this up.
Yeah,
we did it. We did a test. I am so sorry, guys. I think we're going to probably end the Facebook Live just because we fought with it for about 30 minutes before we even started the podcast.
It was working.
And it was working, and now it's off, so we're gonna figure something out. But the podcast on Facebook is gone for today. Sorry, pulling the plug. But if you want to, we're going to post the entire podcast with Chris Stapleton's interview and everything on there as well. So, again, sorry that Facebook is ending, but I don't want it to distract us. Getting back to what we were talking about with Chris Stapleton thing, I think that's kind of cool. I mean, he was like a discovery of Patrick's, and nobody ever talks about it except for us. We kind of giggle and whatever. But
I'll take credit for discovering a lot of people. Chris Stapleton was
Chris is already doing a lot
but
of
no,
great
but
stuff.
You he knew was who he like was. I know, but he was just this songwriter dude that you were like, this guy's the best voice ever.
To you guys who didn't know about him at all, but. In the music industry in Nashville, everybody knew about Chris Stapleton.
Really? I thought
and people didn't understand why Chris Stapleton wasn't more famous.
You should have claimed him. I would claim.
No,
I'd be like,
that.
I was in early. I was on early. You were on early.
I've been on early on a lot of people, but not Chris Stapleton. I was late to the Chris Stapleton game. I didn't get there until 2012.
You were late?
I was earlier than you and 90% of America. But even amongst my own friends, I was kind of late to the game.
I remember we had him in the studio early on before he was Chris Stapleton.
Oh yeah.
And Patrick's like, "Yeah, man."
I was so excited.
I've
been trying to get Chris Stapleton to come in and do the show and come up with a reason, and they finally put a single out, and that was a song that never really did anything at radio. It was called "What Are You Listening To?" Remember that?
I do remember. I remember you tried to get us to play it a lot.
And he came in on my birthday. And because the lady at the record label, Donna, who is my contact there, came in with him and brought cupcakes and a birthday card, the whole thing. And I'm like, I didn't need any of this. You brought Chris Stapleton here. It was my birthday. It was fantastic. And he was awesome.
Yeah, he's always been really nice. And you hear there's a connection for sure, a relationship that we have. And
we need
and
to
you
get,
know what?
I would love to get him back in to perform in here. Oh, that would be like the best.
That album came out in May of 2015, and everyone in the music industry and people who were really, really into music were totally excited. But for the most part, nobody cared. So it was May. 6 months later, it's November, and I was at the Ryman Auditorium. Jason Isbell was playing the Ryman, and Chris Stapleton was opening for him just to play the Ryman. It was he wasn't – touring the country with him. He just played this one night.
So Jason, you know, just said, I want to put one of my favorites in front of me that you guys don't know probably.
And it's the Ryman, and it's a, you know, and again, in Nashville, everybody knows Chris Stapleton, so it's a great bill.
Dude, at that point, I don't think I still really
yeah,
knew.
Yeah, you did. You did. This is 2015.
Okay.
So the album's been out 6 months, and it's just not happening. You know, like Chris is growing his crowd, and he's got, like, I had seen him in Atlanta 2 weeks before with like 1,000 people, and it was huge. It was so awesome. And then so I'm at this show at the Ryman, and he's opening for Jason Isbell, and I remember thinking to myself, well, at least he got to play the Ryman, you know, because like when we would go see Chris Stapleton, he would play like these little clubs around here. And so I thought that was it. That was going to be, this is as big as he ever gets with the mainstream audience,
right.
You know?
Yeah, which, by the way, he sang backgrounds on all kinds of people's music.
Oh, of course.
And he made everybody sound better.
So 5 days later, we are sitting in the third row at the CMAs because we won a CMA award. And we're
Wait, what happened?
We won a CMA award
that
year. And so we're sitting there. Remember, all of us sitting there, and Chris Stapleton is playing the CMAs with Justin Timberlake. And I remember they go to break and they teased it. Coming up next, Chris Stapleton and Justin Timberlake. And I said a little prayer. I was like, God, just don't let it be bad. Don't, like, you know what I mean? If they came out and it just didn't work, and I didn't want, because he had just won Best New Artist and beat out like Thomas Rhett and all these other guys.
And nobody had even known him.
And most
that was
people
the thing.
Didn't
most,
know who he was.
Most,
and I
right.
didn't want it to not be good and then have all the people listening at home go, dude, why did that guy win?
Yeah.
You know? Like, oh, gosh. Nope. Came out and it may be the single greatest 8 minutes of concert I've ever seen.
I'm going to play a little clip just in case you don't. I don't know why they didn't make this a single.
I don't know. They couldn't get it worked out, but it was so...
It was so cool because, like, Chris Stapleton and Justin Timberlake got into a sing-off. They were trying to outdo each other, and it was crazy. It was insane. It was a moment. Everybody in the entire place froze and was just, not, I say froze, though, they were actually moving, but they were just like wowed, like, what the heck are we seeing? This is one of those moments.
Between May and November, in 6 months, the album Traveler sold about 100,000 copies. It was a little less than that.
How long? Between May and?
Between May and November. So it was out 6 months. In 6 months, sold like 90,000 copies. Not bad, but not great. That happened at 9 o'clock Eastern time. And the album chart closes at midnight Eastern time the next day. So over the next 25 hours, he sold 150,000 copies of that record.
He sold more records in 25 hours than the previous 6 months.
Yep.
And then it went on to become
the
number
one
album.
It was number one album the next week. It was the number one single, Tennessee Whiskey, the next week because of sales.
And then it was the number one album for how long?
Oh, Chris, there was a period where Chris Stapleton had the number one, two, and four albums on the chart. All at the same time on the country chart.
And you know what they did too? You know what? It was more than just Chris. It was the horns. I've been saying something for years. Horn sections in country music,
I'll tell you,
just
what
make things better.
Made that great on television that I didn't realize until I watched it back afterwards because we were there. But I didn't realize how much I missed this until I was watching the ACMs, and I didn't think anything of it, but it just didn't feel right this year, you know, because it was all pre-taped. And we watched the CMAs, and they didn't have a big crowd. They didn't sell tickets. They just had the other artists there sitting in at the tables.
Mm-hmm.
But when people are performing, the camera cuts away to the crowd, and you see Ashley McBride clapping along and singing with Charlie Pride.
Or
you
crying,
see,
or whatever it may be.
You see Luke Combs singing along with Eric Church and all this stuff, and I'm like, that's a big part of that event that I didn't realize I was missing until it wasn't there at the ACMs. Yeah. And I think that's what made that Chris Stapleton thing. They kept showing the crowd.
Because
and you're seeing
Keith Urban
and all, like, these guys and Garth Brooks, and they're all like, what?
They're all
happening?
Fangirling, yeah. I mean, like, right there, there's Keith Urban. They just showed him. And they go back. There's Jimmy from Little Big Town, which they're like, what? There's
the worst people to be that night poor Florida Georgia line who had to play next. Oh gosh, it was so bad.
And it laid poor flat. Guys.
And you know what? They did fine.
But the
audience was still sitting there with their phones in their hands, tweeting about what they had just seen a few minutes before.
Yeah.
Everybody was.
I think they actually even brought that up afterwards.
Oh yeah, it was like the luck of the draw. Like, you know,
we should win.
You know what was weird too is I really thought that was going to be Justin Timberlake's little foray into country music, because he has said for the longest time he's been one of those guys who says, I'm going to do a country album. I love country music. I grew up on country music. My grandma wants me to do a country record. And I always thought that, man, right there, it opened the door, and everybody would have been accepting.
You know how that happened? I don't know the whole story, but I do know a little bit of it, is that Justin Timberlake, somebody had turned him on to Chris Stapleton. And when the album came out, he tweeted out, you guys need to find out about Chris Stapleton, and I'm going to be able to say I told you so. Like, something like along those lines. And I'm like, okay.
That was like six months earlier?
Yeah. So Chris Stapleton reached out and like, hey, man, glad to know you like the music. Let me know, you know, if I can ever do anything for you. So they kind of start talking. The CMAs calls all the new artist people, okay, and says you get a minute and a half. So, like, Maddie and Tay were nominated that year for new artist. Thomas Rhett and some other people. Thomas was a pretty big deal. He got a whole song. But most of the people who were just up for new artists, like, listen,
we'll let you do a verse and a chorus. Then they go to commercials.
And then we go into commercials. So they called Chris Stapleton and they said, we can give you, you know, a minute and 45 seconds to do, you know, a song. If you want to do a verse and chorus, we'd love to have you. And he goes, I think I might be able to get Justin Timberlake to come and perform with me. They go, we'll give you 8.5 minutes, which is like an entire section of the show. So, you know what?
So they gave him a whole segment of the show?
Literally, that's like 8 minutes long. It was from commercial to commercial. Nobody.
Yeah, they did two songs, and both songs were just boom.
Yeah.
And like, I never understood Tennessee Whiskey. Everybody knows that song. Tennessee Whiskey is one of those career songs for Chris. And immediately after the awards show, we started playing. We had an edited version that we started playing immediately the next day. And we ran that. It was in our rotations on the show regularly for about 2 or 3 months. And finally, we had to get off of it because the record company did not want to have us play it.
They wanted us to play Parachute. That was the single.
Which was good, but it wasn't Tennessee Whiskey. I mean.
Or was it Nobody to Blame?
It was Nobody to Blame.
Nobody to Blame.
Nobody to Blame was a great song, but it was not Tennessee Whiskey.
I called four different people at that record label and was just please.
I mean, we just even sent them.
Make it Tennessee Whiskey.
Remember, we sent them our edit because the song, the version on the album was way too long.
Four and a half, five minutes.
And we're like, hey, look, we got you 2.5, 2:45.
No, it's like three
something. It was much shorter. And because a lot of times you have radio stations that go, well, that song's too long because we do 12 songs in a row and that'll push us over the edge. We could get an extra song in if you shorten it up. And so we just made an edit for them. So nobody would have.
I like the voice that he provides.
It's pretty dead on.
It is pretty dead on. And the rationale is, hey, man, I want to help. I wanted to see, just like you, just like all of us, we all wanted to see Chris blow up. And he blew up anyway without radio's help, and that just shows the power of a good song.
But I will tell you, nothing makes me more angry than when some smart aleck who doesn't understand the music business says, well, it's country radio's fault. They never played Tennessee Whiskey. It was never a single.
It was the record company.
It was not a single. We play singles that are released to be played at radio. That's how it works.
It's a symbiotic relationship. We play the songs that they want us to play, and they're happy about it, and they continue. But, I mean, it's weird. Radio and records, that whole relationship is weird because we have to pay for the right to play their songs.
What?
Right. So, yeah, no. You got your ASCAP, BMI, and all
that's
that. You're
not,
technically for the writers.
That. That's for the writers. We pay writers to play their music.
I know,
it doesn't
but shouldn't
to do with
the record
music.
Company pay for that? Because when we put them on the radio, it's promotion for them.
Not for the writers. That's not how it works.
No, I'm saying they should pay the writers. Not us.
I mean,
that's just my opinion, man.
Wait a second. Are you saying we would not have to pay? I'm for that.
For anything we don't have to pay.
Anyway, it's just.
I have a whole podcast I did with Damon Moberly, who's at Chris Stapleton's record label, and we got into a long conversation about that and how it happened and why it didn't happen. And what
is that on
things.
Your Five Whiskey
it's on
Patrick?
Five Whiskey Patrick. I think it's episode 4 or 5. Damon Moberly.
You know why you know that offhand? Because you don't have enough episodes. I liked your podcast, and then you haven't done a new episode in a long time.
No, I couldn't get... My whole thing was about having people come in and drink whiskey with me, and then people couldn't come in and drink whiskey with me.
That's true.
Because of COVID. So.
The Rona messed you up. That's true, because you could... I mean, you could have Zoom drank together, but
really?
That's not the same.
No, that's not the same.
It's not the same.
You can't clink the glasses. It's really just sad.
Yeah.
So.
Can't kick each other under the table.
It'll be a thing.
Yeah, man. So. I'm ready for everything to be back to normal, it's not going to be. It's going to get crazier and crazier, I don't want to get into it. It was episode four, mm-hmm. So if people want to dive into why they didn't play that song and all that stuff, mm-hmm. You and Damon kind of dive into it. That's cool. All right.
I like Damon because he knows a lot about whiskey, and he loves Chris Stapleton.
I want to share something with you guys.
Pretty much all you have to be my friend.
I wanted to share something with you guys about... Okay, so you know I'm adopted, and I got on Ancestry. I got on 23andMe. I did them all because I wanted to find out more about my family, more about what I didn't know what I was. I didn't know. I was a mutt. I'm like, I don't know what I am. So I now know my, you know, genetic history and all that kind of stuff. I found a first cousin, you know, and we've talked, and she's filled me in on a bunch of the family background, and it's been very nice. So we got into a conversation at dinner with some friends recently. And I didn't want to tell this on the air because I didn't want to embarrass them, but check this out. We're talking, and my bud's wife says, you know, we did Ancestry too for my mom and her best friend and me, and we all did it at the same time. And sure enough, when our results came back, the mom and the best friend, the neighbor she grew up with, are sisters.
What? No.
Yes. I kid you not. This is God's honest truth. The dad is dead, so they couldn't confront
like
him about it.
Half-sisters?
Yeah, they're half-sisters. The dad was sleeping with the neighbor.
Oh, dude. Yes. That's kind of awesome.
So they grew up together thinking they were best friends and, you know, whatever. They've been, you know, thick as thieves and what. They've been friends for their whole lives. They're like in their 50s or whatever, 60s. And they didn't know until recently that they were sisters.
Hmm. Wow.
Is that not the craziest thing? So now the conversation was, you know, now that we know, because she's like we being me, my mom, and my neighbor aunt. Now that we know, do we tell mom? And I was like, I don't know what you do. I'm like, that's a crazy thing because...
Oh, like the grandma?
Yeah, the grandma that used to be. Yes,
I think I kind of.
Yeah, that's. I was like,
grandma just go to her grave not knowing that.
That's what I was. I mean, she'll figure it out.
But maybe she knew, and it was just a secret. You know what I mean? Because listen, people used to know that stuff and just never talk about it. Man, I find out secrets years later about people in my family that nobody talks about, nobody knew, and that's all kinds of stuff like that.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff.
Can you imagine you get your ancestry? Everybody, you do it as a group. All right, we're doing it. I mean, imagine if the three of us did it at the same time, and then our results come back, and you open the app up, and you've got all these connections, and one of my connections is Patrick.
Yeah, that would be crazy.
And he and I are brothers. That would be, like, the weirdest thing.
That make a lot of sense.
I wonder how many people have done that, and they get the results back, and they are not connected to their parents.
Oh.
Me?
I mean, people who don't know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, and there's a lot of people who don't look like their parents, and sometimes they, I mean, think about all the people who get the shock of, oh, my dad is not my dad.
Yeah. I had a buddy who found out that he was adopted when his parents died. Like, didn't know.
Wow.
See,
that's the weird thing is I knew ever since I don't have a memory of never knowing. I don't have a memory of somebody telling me because... My sister made it a point, and we've talked to her on the show about it. Yeah. She made a point of every time she didn't get her way or whatever, she'd be like, you're not my real brother.
Oh, my gosh.
And I would just sit there sad.
Pray for peace.
And pray for peace.
I'm not saying nothing. I'm just going to let that go.
I used it as an opportunity. Anyway, but yeah, it's very interesting the stuff you can find out through like Ancestry.
I'm sitting here trying to think if I can tell this story about my great-grandmother without my family getting mad at me. But like
Is it worse than you working at the strip club?
Oh, no, that was worse for me personally. I want to point out for those of you who only listen to the podcast that it wasn't so much that I got in trouble because my mom heard that on the podcast. It was that my dad got in trouble because he knew and never told my mom.
Wait, your dad knew that you were working
at the... My dad knew. I called him because at the time I was 19 and my dad did my taxes. And I knew I was going to have to tell him about it because I was going to get a... You know, I was going to get a 1099 from this place I was working at.
Hopefully, that's the only thing you got from that place you worked at.
And I remember, that was all I got. And I remember him saying, don't tell your mother. And so I never did, and neither did he. And so I didn't get in a lot of trouble because I'm a grown man, but he might have gotten a little bit of trouble. I can't believe you knew that. You didn't say nothing. That's kind of how that went. So, yeah. Yeah.
So can you tell the story or no?
My... Here's the part I do know.
Just change people around.
No, it's fine. My great-grandmother, my mother's father's mother, was married to a man. His last name was Freeman. And they had like six kids. I don't remember the exact story. He went to jail, so she left him. They didn't get divorced. This is like 1890, you know. 1899.
Nobody got divorced in 1890?
They did, but like this is in the rural part of South Louisiana. He went to jail, so they weren't married no more. That kind of thing. She had a kid with another man who was a Romero, and then she took up with the first husband's brother. So she had five kids by the one guy, another one with the guy who was a Romero, and then three or four more kids with the brother of the first husband. So these kids, most of her kids, are brothers and cousins because their parents are brothers. But my grandfather was the youngest, and he was born like 9 months after the first husband got out of jail. And so we're not sure if he's not the first husband's son.
Holy
and that's cow. Where the kind of like if my mama's listening to this, she's gonna get mad at me again for telling that
no,
story.
Listen,
but
I mean dude,
these people have been dead for 100 years. But yeah, so and there's no way to check it because if you did a DNA test, because they're brothers, there's no way to know because the DNA it would be the same.
Well, no, but it'll show a deviation. You do have deviations in there, so you can see it'll. I forget what you have the maternal haploop and the paternal haploops, dude. I've dove deep on this.
I mean, you're talking about two guys, half the DNA is the same because the mom is the same, and the other half, the two guys, they're both brothers. So, and they're both full brothers. So how do you tell? Yeah. I mean, that's some real close stuff.
I would think there would be some variance, though, some enough detectable.
Even without that part of the story, it's still crazy that she had like 10 kids by two different guys and half of them for one brother and half for the other. Like, that's crazy enough. But then you throw in that extra twist of maybe the last one was also the first husband's guy. I don't know.
By the way, but the first divorce in North America was 1639. Mrs. James Luxford found out about her husband. Now, I probably shouldn't talk about this on the podcast because, you know, don't want to embarrass her family. But Mrs. Luxford found out her husband was married to another woman, so she was awarded all of the couple's property, just like today. On grounds of bigamy, and her husband was fined and exiled back to England. So,
oh, yeah, because that was before America.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, so and they're showing that divorce rates kind of were like trickling here and there. And then around the 1860s, post-Civil War, there was a lot of divorces because I guess I would assume that a lot of these guys came back from the war a little mentally messed up, and divorce rates climbed around 1867. Isn't that fascinating?
It is fascinating.
It's crazy. And then it leveled off in like the 1980s. All right. Well, we have the Chris Stapleton. Anybody else got anything you want to add to it?
Nothing. Got nothing. Pray for
peace. Chris Thank Stapleton you. Interview
I've forgotten it.
is coming up right after this little closing jingle. Thanks again to O'Reilly Auto Parts. You guys are awesome. Love the support. Love your stores. And I love the fact that I can go in there and you always have the part I need. You're the best.
Pray for peace.
And pray for peace.
This was the podcast, but now it's over.
But that's okay.
You can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.
Chris Stapleton is joining us. Got a new album out. It's called Starting Over, and he's on the phone now. What's up there, big boy?
Hey, man, how's it going, guys?
We're good.
Yeah, we're great.
We're good. We haven't talked to you in a while, man. Congrats on this new album. Patrick's really excited, as
very
you know.
Excited.
He just finished up his full face of you on his back tattoo. It is still a little red. It's a little puffy, but you
well,
know
how many,
what?
How many sittings? How many sittings did that take?
Well, just the face.
And I went with the cheaper guy, and so it really looks more like the Cowardly Lion from The Wizard of Oz. But it's you.
I've been told I favor the Cowardly Lion.
All you have to do, though, to fix it is just put it riding an eagle of some sort, and
yes,
it'll be fine.
It'll be awesome. Do you ever, America.
America.
America. You ever had someone? You ever run into someone who has a tattoo of you on them?
Absolutely, yeah.
What is that like?
Absolutely.
Like, of course,
yeah,
you haven't?
Who held up a sign at a show one time, and it was like, you know, asked me about my tattoo of you or something weird like that. And so I don't know what possessed me to say, yeah, come up here and show it to us.
Oh.
Like, on set. Well, I never do that, ever. But it was so weird. I was like, let's see what this guy's got. And he had like a hip to knee tattoo of my head on his thigh.
Wow.
And it was a good tattoo, but also I don't know it was an interesting
Listen,
choice
man.
Of position for my head.
That's a very weird place to know that your face is always there on his thigh.
It's always on another man's thigh. We'll always be there.
You don't put a tattoo of anyone else on you unless they are someone that is in your family and has passed away.
That's the only way it's acceptable.
Or Jesus.
That's pretty much it.
Jesus.
I don't know. I mean, I mean, I really appreciate that he likes us that much. I mean, I could never, you know, I don't know that I'm a big fan of a lot of people. I don't know that I could tattoo them on myself. I don't have any tattoos, but it's just.
I don't want to get too far into this, but where on the thigh? The outside?
Jeez,
the
Patrick,
inside,
really? You still
the
in
front?
It
yeah.
was on the inside.
I mean, because then it just gets weirder.
It was an exterior.
Okay, good.
Shot,
that's
know,
the.
So if he was like riding a bicycle, I mean, it would have been prominent if he was wearing shorts.
Yeah, okay.
Like, I would think that you had. Well, listen, and you don't have to be honest, you can just lie. But didn't you go, oh, man, that's awesome. But in your heart, in your head, you're going, God, that is so stupid.
No, I don't think. I mean, I don't think it's stupid if it's what he wanted to do. And I'm all for everybody doing their own thing. But, you know, it's a little, it's initially flattering. But then you feel like this pressure is like, man, I hope I never, you know, do something that he's really.
Yeah, you have to live up to this dude's tattoo.
Well,
I have to live up to the fact that this dude tattooed me on himself, like, or at least whatever his version of me is that made him think that was what he wanted to do. Like,
you got to hope that guy loves, you know, this new record, because otherwise, you know.
Yeah, I hope he's out there listening to it right now and just thrilled he has a tattoo of me on his thigh.
His favorite song is "When I'm With You," because he's always with you. Or you're always with him, or whatever, however it works.
Chris Stapleton is on the horn with us. Thanks for the time, man. We appreciate it. So we're kind of going through this.
Hi, man.
Sorry, it was the horn.
I don't know.
What was that? That was a Viking call because, you know, Chris Stapleton was a warrior in whatchamacallit?
Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones, yeah. So we were on the horn together.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, everyone just... Take it easy. Let's take a breath here. All right. So this album, Bubba, you have the tracks up there.
Yeah. What do you want me to play, man? I've been listening to this on nonstop.
What's one that you like, Patrick?
My favorite, Chris, right now is Arkansas. I can't get enough of it. It's hot. It sounds like an old Johnson Brothers song. I love it.
Yeah.
Down a back road where the wide river runs and the southern sun makes a curtain grow. The one I found in the other mountains I ain't ever seen. It sure does feel like you're sitting on top of the world to me. Gotta get down, gotta get down.
super hot, man.
It's all right.
It's all right.
No, I'm kidding you.
It's okay. It'll be.
All I heard was suffice.
747 coming out of the sky.
Oh, a little Credence. Yeah, you know that very first line whenever he first started singing, I was going, Little Richard, for about a second.
Oh, well,
and
man.
That is meant as an absolute compliment. Exactly.
Hey, man, I would take that as an absolute. Little Richard, man, is... If anybody could ever lay it down, it was Little Richard.
I would actually love to hear you do, like, cover Little Richard.
That would be kind of cool.
Well, I would definitely fall short of the glory, but I appreciate the vote of confidence.
So, do you have a Little Richard tattoo on your thigh? You have that'd be your first step. You got to get that.
It's on my calf.
Yeah.
That's good. It's better placement.
So, hey, when are we going to get back on the road doing the tours and stuff?
We're scheduled. We have 2021 scheduled, but like most things in the world we're living in, it's certain till it's uncertain, and then we're certain of the uncertainty, you know.
I'm so ready for all the tentative to come off of dates. You know, there's things on our schedule, too, that are tentative. And I don't like tentative anymore. I want to know, hey, this is where I'm going to be on this day, and it's awesome. That's the way I want to plan things.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all do, but, you know, we're all kind of going through that, I think.
Yeah.
You know, the good news is there's a lot of, I guess they're making a lot of positive strides in vaccines and treatments and whatever, and maybe we can get back to normal a lot sooner I thought we were going to be there now, but we're not.
I remember it was flatten the curve.
In 2 weeks, guys. We need 2 weeks.
Flatten the curve. Just take it easy. Flatten the curve. Everyone. Yeah, that didn't. Do you wear the disposable blue mask, or do you have your own custom mask?
Well, I don't know if it's custom. I just have, I have a mask. I have the ones you wash.
Does it have your name on it?
Oh, no. It's I found one from a company, the Stance company that makes socks.
Yeah?
Yeah, they make face masks, too. And they're real, comfortable and not, in the mode of wearing a mask.
I got one that looks, it's the mask on itself looks like Justin Timberlake. So I look like a super fat Justin Timberlake when I'm walking through the grocery store. People look at me, they're like, I think I know that guy.
Sign any autographs?
Yeah, I sign on their thigh. Yes, Patrick.
I'm kind of nervous because I want to bring something up, but I really don't want to upset Chris. Mm. But
you don't want to upset me?
Yeah. So I'm gonna
please stop being nervous. How many years have we done this now?
I know, but
it's okay to be nervous. Just, come on.
Okay, I'm gonna throw this out there. I kept listening to Starting Over when it first came out, and I kept going, man, this song is good. It's great. And then it just kept sitting with me, that first line. Like, it sounded familiar, but it was weird. And
let me turn off the other song.
Yeah.
Here we go.
So go to the 30-second mark here.
All right, 30-second mark in Lone Star. What about now?
That's right.
Deal for 400 horsepower, jukebox on wheels, and that rolls out like a welcome mat. I don't know where it goes, but it beats where we're at.
Did you just come up with that and it sounded original and you thought, or was that an homage maybe?
Is that the same lyric?
It's the same exact line. And I've never.
Well, it is. It very much is. I don't know what song you were playing there.
What About Now by Lone Star was a hit in the early 2000s.
It's a huge hit. Everyone played it.
And I just thought it was was that a metaphor that people use a lot that I don't know? And I was like, nope.
What part? I don't even know what you're talking
about. The road rolls out like a welcome mat. It's the first line of Starting Over. And I never put those two
together.
I can't cuss on your radio show, but it looks like I'm inadvertently recycled a Lone Star lyric.
Well, okay. Well, I don't want to be the one to point it out. And
why
I'm
would
not
you bring
saying
that up?
You did,
I don't
bro.
Know.
Why would you bring that up to a guest?
Because he's my hero. It's Chris Stapleton. I want to see if he's going to hear
it.
He should hear it.
Almost said friend.
Me.
Is he your friend or hero? Is he your freero?
What is he? What is he? What's going on?
I should have kept my mouth shut.
Yeah.
Chris, I love when you come on.
It's all good, man. I'm sure if you notice that someone else, I may have to be talking about this all day.
Oh yeah, Richie McDonald's lawyers will be talking with you in a little bit.
No, it's not enough for that kind of problem. It's just,
All right. All right.
You should tell people it was an homage.
Chris Stapleton.
Chris Stapleton.
I was listening to a lot of Lone Star. I was really.
Yeah.
I can see that.
It was between Amazed and What About Now. Those are my two favorite songs of my entire life.
Chris Stapleton's with us. You can find him online, beardedmenofcountry.com, and also chrisstapleton.com. I made that first one up for somebody who's going to go look it up. I don't know.
I thought it was a real site.
Somebody took that domain just now when you said that. They're squatting on it.
Yeah, Patrick, he's in the other room right now because he's a bearded man of country as well.
Hey, man, do you guys...
He's over there getting paid for being a musicologist, hunting down people's lyrical similarities.
Yeah. Well, you know, we do a segment on the show called Sounds Like, and we have people call in and they're like, hey, this song sounds like this. And sometimes it would scare you how close these songs are.
And people have no idea. I mean,
sharing a three words out of a sentence is not a big deal.
No.
There are some that are like, I worry for some people because I saw what went down.
Here's the truth of it, guys. There's only so many notes and so many words in the English language.
I know, I get that, the problem is that
it's okay to plagiarize things or
no.
You know, there's certain things that people gravitate to.
Well, Chris, we look at what happened with Robin Thicke and Marvin Gaye's family. I worry about artists because, again, you're absolutely right. There's only so many chords. There's only so many notes. There's only so many words we're going to share. Plus, we're influenced by everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're influenced by things that you don't even realize you're influenced by by being in the supermarket, you know. And so I don't listen to the radio or anything like that. Sorry, guys, but not because I don't want to listen to the radio. It's because I don't want to be influenced and hopefully that it's cleared out.
Well, there was one time that Brad Paisley was in here in the studio with us, and he was playing a song. We were in between segments, and he's playing a song on guitar off the air. And I said, oh, Change the World by Eric Clapton. He goes, nope, that's a song I wrote last night.
And he goes, but I'm changing it tonight.
I mean, it happens. Yeah, I mean, sometimes you just don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, or you might know, but it doesn't register. And so, and you know, not to get too much into the legalities of songwriting, but you know, everybody has to carry insurance for these kind of things, too, so... because it happens, and you wind up accidentally using something that you just didn't even realize you were doing it.
You say you have to carry insurance? You got to carry insurance in case you write something that it's already been done.
Yes.
Wow. Who knew? Well, that's smart. That's really smart.
Really smart.
Hey, how does it feel to have people like Chase Rice tweet out the other day, Chris Stapleton is the best singer on the planet? I think when other singers say that kind of stuff, that's like the highest compliment.
Well, certainly is. I didn't know that, but thank you, Chase. I mean, it's nice to be recognized and appreciated, particularly by people who do what you do.
Well, we ask that everybody goes and picks up Starting Over. If you're not going to buy it, you better stream it. Either way, you need to listen to Starting Over, the new album with Chris Stapleton. You're going to absolutely love it. And he's a good dude, and he's got good insurance.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, we'll get you in soon, man. We'll get you in.
I'm not inviting lawsuits in any way.
No. Of course not. Please don't sue Chris Stapleton.
By the time you get in next, the puffiness of Patrick's tattoo of you on his back will be healed up. It will be looking good. The color will have set. And you can sign it, and then you can sign his hairy back, and then he can get that tattooed as well.
Well, I want a full res pic of it when it heals up.
All right, good. Done.
It's coming your way.
Chris Stapleton, everybody.
Real high res.
Thanks, man. Congrats.